have the executive director's report, so I'm going to pass the microphone over to Carlos.
Robert?
I know, it was on the way.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. But as Mark mentioned to me over the email, it has been a busy and productive quarter. First of all, the unicameral did approve our budget increase. And like 541,000 this year, next year is going to be like 560,000. And each year after that, according to the cost of living will increase. I will talk more about how we are using that money. The unicameral also approved LB 220 and LB 123. In regards to the OIB state funds, now that we get that money together with the previous state money and the federal money, that's close to 18% of our budget. So what we are doing is, if we didn't used to charge overhead expenses to OIB because we didn't have enough, but now we will. Mm-hmm. So we could free up some VR money from those areas and use it for clients. At the center, way several years ago, maybe 10 years and before that, we used to take senior plan, and the feds told us we cannot do that because the center was charged for VR services and only clients under VR services could be there. So sometimes we will get seniors who, you know, they were in their 60s and they have a vocational goal, and that was fine. But more and more we have less seniors who wanted to look for jobs. So now we are going to be using around at least 18% of our budget for the center, and that's around close to $200,000 that it's going to be free from basic support and that we could use for client services. You know, I can give you more details and more of those, but you got a big picture, I guess, in general. And because we are freeing some money from VR, and we also are saving money from moving from the third floor to the first floor here in Lincoln, and eliminating the offices in the rural areas, also not paying the CIO because we had to lay off staff. So all of that is helping to budget our budget, and we now are able to get out of the wait list all of the clients who are there. Up to the end of July, we have 22. I think I reported each month how many we were having to you guys. But up to the end of July, we had 22, and we look at the budget again. We are able to serve those clients, so they are off that list. But
that's
we are
great.
Still in order of selection, okay? I just want to make sure, I think we are going to look at everything again in October, and if everything goes fine, I think we can be off order of selection, but I don't want to go too fast, too quickly. With the other blind folk, the funds, we are also going to be able to do a group teaching. You know, I had a couple of conversations with Barbara Lowe's. We are not renting a bus and going to rural areas. That's not what I think we did when I was here. What we are doing is getting folks to a hotel like we did before for a couple of weeks, provide training, and showing them the importance of the training so they could come to the center. So the idea is that they will come to the center full time, okay? We want to do that in each district. That's what we used to do before, and that's what we're going to do now. There will be follow-up, and again, I want to clarify this because if Barbara is asking this question, maybe other consumers will have the same questions. We are having follow-up on the clients who will be coming to the group teaching to make sure that they do get the training they need in their homes. we used to limit our visits to 6 or 8 because of the budget, but now we are not going to limit. So it will give us more flexibility to follow up. The other question that Barbara brought up, and again, our staff members also asked before, is in the offices that we or the areas that we close offices, how are we going to provide group teaching? So in the rural areas, the clients had to come to hotels anyway, so we are still going to do that. But we are going to partner with a senior center and or different churches to be able to use their kitchens and rooms so we can provide the independent living services there. So far, that's what we're going to be doing with OIB funds. When I said cost allocation and 18% of our budget, for instance, what we pay for the computer, the software, the telephone, the cars, it wasn't charged to OIB because there was almost no money there. So now we are using the 18% of that, okay? So far, so good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay. So I'm going to get into LD 220. That's the bill that is supposed to mirror the Randall Shepherd program with hearing in Nebraska. I think I talked to some of you guys. The Department of Corrections is not interpreting the new law the way we are interpreting it. When I met with the AG, John Jelkins, he has the same interpretation than I do, but he doesn't want to fight it because he's not supposed to fight with other state agencies. He represents every state agency, so he cannot fight. He can just give a polite opinion. As a state director, I cannot fight with other state agencies. I'm supposed to be working with them. Mm-hmm. And I have been doing that for several years. They keep talking about changing that language we did. Now they come up with something else. Mm-hmm. But let's keep in mind that the previous director of administrative services was Byron Diamond. He used to be a colonel with the military, and he worked with us on Randall Shepherd at the headquarters for the National Guard. So when he came to the state, he said, yep, you don't need to go to this, you know, you guys have this. He knew that. Mm-hmm. And with the state, he also supported us. In fact, he told the state, give the blind the state office building, 1526, and the state capitol. And that's how we had it. Well, now he's not there any longer. Yeah. And that's the concern. Each time an administration comes, they might interpret things differently. And that's why we continue to work with Senator Wishart. She's going to be asking the AG for a legal opinion, official mm-hmm. one. We are going to have meetings, she said, you know, later on, maybe September, October, to see how we can continue working with this. But one of the questions I was asked is, we do have priority. If we go out and submit the bid, yeah, it takes some time, but eventually we will get the sites anyways because we have priority as long as we show that we are comparable and that we are competent. So they asked me, what is the problem with that? And I said, well, the problem is, and I didn't use the word corrections is playing games, but what I said is, we met with them in May of 2017, and we still don't have an RFP out. Mm. So the deputy director of the Department of Administrative Services, Doug Carlson, said that he will talk to corrections so they can be RFP out. Then the following week, we got a calendar of events, when the RFP will be out, when the bids and so forth. So it's coming along, okay? So I think by October or November, we should know whether or not we get the Department of Corrections. Some folks may be questioning, well, you know, the commission it's talking nonsense. You want to get corrections and there is no money to buy machines. Well, Carol has been talking to Coca-Cola already and several other partners, so we could use their machines. Mm-hmm. So we are working on that already. Like Mike mentioned, we had a conversation with Rick Baker. He is the ADA representative on the task force with the office of the CIO. And we are putting some pressure so there can be a state policy on the technology clouds. We have a law, but there was never written a policy.
Okay,
so we continue to work on that. Some of the meetings that I have attended was also the Homestead Advisory Committee. I was appointed to be there with Commissioner Bulger. And then I was appointed to be on the State Planning Committee for the Homestead. So I opened my big mouth and now I'm going to be working more there. I also attended the ADA Task Force, the NCSAP Spring Conference, the State Convention of the ACB, the National Convention of the NFB and ACB. And I was also invited to participate on an international conference for education of blind children and rehabilitation for blind adults in Guadalajara, Mexico. I was the keynote speaker there and ran several breakouts about that. I had the privilege to be in one of the breakouts with the executive director of the World Blind Union. So it was something fun. I use vacation time for that, just for the record.
Mm.
I'm on the board of the NCSAB, and we continue to work with the Department of Education, the Assistant Secretary, and also RSA on having a new guidance so they can be more flexible with pre-ed expenditure, which I talked to you guys a little earlier. According to them, we put together a memo with six areas that we want more flexibility. And so far we are hearing that they can be flexible on all of them except one, but they haven't said which one. And they don't want to say more. So I said, well, when are we going to have those guidance out? Well, not the end of the fiscal year, but maybe the beginning of the calendar year. So I guess on federal terms, that means another 6 months.
Yeah.
But there is some progress, and then as you know, Mark Schultz was confirmed, and he's going to be chair of the RSA August 12th. I went to his reception yesterday. So he says he's going to be waiting for my phone call.
Make sure you call.
Oh yeah, there are already some issues that we need to meet with him as a group.
Okay.
The National Rehabilitation and Leadership Institute, as you know, gave Kat and Greg scholarships for the second, third, and fourth sessions. They attended the third one, and the fourth one is coming up in September. On July 16 and 17, the director of the South Dakota Agency for the Blind, along with her deputy director for VR Services and Independent Living Services, and also the supervisor of the center, came to visit us to learn how we work here. They were very excited on things that we share with them. So I think that's good that we keep being recognized around the nation, that people come to us. We also have a client at the center who is from another state based on the quality of services and training that we provide. The amendments for the state rules were all approved by the governor's office, but because of LB 220, we might have to amend, well, we might not, we will have to amend the rules section 3, I think that's how we call it, about the MPE, But we are going to wait until we continue having those meetings with Senator Wishart, because if she introduces a new amendment in January, we might have to wait for that before we work on the other amendments.
Carlos?
Yeah.
Now, while I know we as a board have been given copies of the changes to those rules, when will those be publicized? Because when I go out to the, I think it's the DAS website where they're posted, the updated rules are not there yet. They're still the old versions.
Kathy?
Should be the Secretary of State's office should have them published. I'll double check with them. I do need to post them on our website.
In our website, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay. I wanted to make sure that we had I've always had an accessible version for our commission board to have access to. I cleaned up a version a long time ago, and I want to get this one done as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. It was kind of confusing because we keep contacting the governor's office, and then the number we were given told us, oh no, there is a long wait around 9 to 12 months, so we don't know when yours will be approved. And then we got the following week an email from another office saying, it's approved. And so what is the rule?
It's been 9 weeks. Yeah.
So Kathy has to go some calling, and they just recognized that there was no communication in the same office from one staff and another. So that happens in government, I guess. Conflict of interest. I want to talk about this because I have some questions from some staff members and consumers after we did this, and I think it created some confusion when I thought it was clear enough. But let me explain why we talk about this and what I think happened. RSA does monitoring reviews to every state in the nation, in 5-year cycles. They usually pick 10 to 12 states, including territories. And they pick some of the areas they are going to monitor. And one of the big areas they pick is internal control policy. At least that's what they are doing in this 5-year cycle. Last fall in the report, they mentioned that for the internal control policy, most states were missing the conflict of interest policy, and that they were talking to them a lot on that. Then when we were working on the mentoring contract, I was told by the attorney of the NFB, just to remind me that Shane is from the NFB, and I said, yep, he's not signing the contract, I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. So again, conflict of interest and so forth. And then in January, all the state directors got training with the director of accountability and disclosure, and the focus was conflict of interest. Very much every state is supposed to do that. We are expected to do that. And the reason is to protect the agency, but more than that, to protect our staff members. Mm-hmm. It's not to prohibit them to do their jobs. It's to make sure that they are free to do their jobs. So I invited the director of accountability and disclosure to come to a supervisor meeting to explain what that entails. And then we require each staff member that we know belong to a consumer convention or are on the boards of different areas to fill out that form. Mm-hmm. And if there is no conflict of interest, no problem, they are protected, because people always talk, you guys know I'm belong to a consumer organization. Mm-hmm. I was deputy director, I was president of that consumer organization, and I always got questions about conflict of interest. So I fill out my form, people question, accountability and disclosure say there is no conflict of interest, no more questions asked, right? So that's why we are doing it, okay? So I just wanted to be clear that that was the reason behind it, and that they were found a potential conflict of interest among a couple of members, but again, the goal is, if there is one, how can we work it around? Mm-hmm. And we were able to work it around. So if these two staff members need to authorize attendance to conventions, they won't do that, the supervisor will do it. So that's the way how we are going to do it. And the director of accountability and disclosure agrees with that. So questions on conflict of interest? No? Okay.
I think that's pretty standard anymore.
Yeah, it is, it is. That's why, that's what I was telling staff members who were asking is, because their question was, why are we doing it now and not before? Well, I did it when I was staff.
Yeah.
And now that I'm director, I'm asking everybody else. No. Because again, it's a standard.
Good.
We did a lot of surplus, mainly Kathy Stevens did it. As you know, we closed offices and reduced space, so there was a lot of extra furniture. We ran into some challenge that from the rural areas, we were going to spend a lot of money on renting cars or moving companies to bring the furniture to Lincoln. And Kathy did some magic with some state offices, and we were able to sell or sold those furniture. Right, Kathy?
Yeah.
Okay. The money didn't come to Kathy directly, but at least we didn't have to spend too much money on moving companies. On the human resources area, unfortunately, Cindy Zimmer is still on sick leave, going on cancer treatment. We wish her the best. Steph Baldwin announced that she is leaving the agency by the end of October. She's moving to Colorado to join her husband. So she is now working at the center, covering for home management where Cindy was. And the position that she left, we follow all the reemployment procedures, and Larry Roos came back. Mm-hmm. So he was one of the persons affected in the layoff plan. We also rehire or ask Lori Jacobson to come back. She's working at the center part-time, helping at the apartments. The position, Charlie Saltzman got the job that Zahar Husseini left. She retired. So Charlie went through the interview process, was the most competent ones, and she's going to start on Monday for training. Now, the position that she left is a voc rehab tech. Several years ago, we reclassified support staff to voc rehab techs because they were expected to go out and help counselors to provide some independent living training, you know, basic skills. But they never did that. So they keep providing support services, also, you know, just support at the front desk. So we are going to reclassify that position to a different one. And once that's done, we are going to open that for hiring. Mm-hmm. Adrienne Moody, as you know, she was also voc rehab tech in Kearney. Most of her job was to support the business office. She got a job for a counselor in Omaha. Her training will end by the end of August. So we are also reclassifying her position, and the job was already posted as an accountant too, I believe. It's going to be a data entry person for the business office. So those are some of the changes on the human resources area. Questions on that? No?
Okay. I have not.
For
the chat?
No, okay. Field services is most of the usual staff in Lincoln. The employers and human resources folks mentioned that they don't necessarily like OJTs because it takes too long. The employers don't like that. So the Chamber of Commerce is working with the Lincoln District team to come up with video clips to show the capability of the blind. Okay, so there's more to come on that. Omaha and Lincoln, they are already starting group teaching for OIB and pre-eds because we need to be using those funds. Mm-hmm. Staff members continue to work with the public schools. In the transition area, we have the counselors work on and partner with the School for the Blind on the camp. We also have clients attending capabilities and also a STEM camp at the NFB. We have PI, wages, and the mentoring program. At the center, we had, this Monday, we're going to be having 8 clients and 2 staff trainees, so that will be 10 people.
Good.
As you remember, up to 5 years ago, we only had 2 to 3 clients at the center. And now it doesn't go less than 7 or 6, I think. I think in September that we're going to start having a wait list. So things are looking good at the center. Talking about the center, again, I had a conversation with Barbara, and if Barbara had a question, that means other people might have a question. That's okay, Barbara, if I use your name, right?
Sure. Okay.
Okay. I think she said you already did.
Cat's out of the bag.
No, no, but... Since I don't know what
the... No, this is about the prayer and communications.
Oh,
question, yeah, which is something that I talked to staff before too, because our director or supervisor of the center used to teach in Braille, and there was some concerns back then because there was no enough dedication to Braille, and Fatoche was a great teacher, a great supervisor, but because she was good on both, there were many issues going on, and as a supervisor, she needed to leave her office many times. So there was no enough concentration on Braille. Eventually we got enough funds, so we got a full-time person teaching Braille, and Fatoche went back to be a full-time person, supervisor. Well, now we have a full-time person doing both communications and Braille, not supervisor, okay? So. There is going to be Braille on ongoing basis and communication on ongoing basis. Our staff members, when we had extra funds, we sent staff members to the different center trainings who were certified on structural discovery, as well as our deputy director. She was the supervisor of the center back then. So we brought several ideas from the different centers. Again, we don't have more than 10 clients. Some of those centers have 30, 35 clients, so there is a big difference. And before we make those decisions, we put a lot of thought. So I was the one making the decision, and there were some other issues, you know, confidential stuff, why I made that decision, and I would be glad to talk to some of you, you know, confidential situations, but the main reason is because we don't have enough funds. You know, we have to close offices, we have to reduce staff. Hopefully we will be able to get more and more funds. As I mentioned, looks like we're going to be getting at least 10 clients all the time, and if there is a waiting for, you know, wait list for clients to come to the center, we can justify going to the legislator and say, listen, there are clients that are waiting, and we don't have enough funds, so we can get more staff members too. So there are different ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to commit getting an extra staff when we don't have the funds.
Right.